You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Joshua and chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, as we take your word, looking to you to help us understand that which you have given, so that we can appreciate your person, your presence, with understanding, that God would be able to honor you with our heart and our mind. God, thank you. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, we have spent some time since all of this virus bug and all of that kind of thing, but to try to understand afresh and anew when you're in a crisis or a condition such as this, you need to make sure you're learning and exercising your relationship to God properly. Not just having I can turn and quote a verse and you can quote a verse and it's wonderful. No, it has to be more than that. We need to have an understanding of the God in whose presence we sit. And if we don't have an understanding of that, we're trying to go out there and in here without him. And you aren't going to make it. You only can be religious up to this far. After that, it's over your head. So I've got to have reality. Reality with righteousness. Now, having said that, we shared together last time and this last time, Wednesday and that. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, understood he was about his Father's business. And we took time to understand that a little bit, that God, when we get saved, God, as the Lord Jesus Christ, exercised 3 1/3 years publicly of his Father's business. And we are to continue that business. We are in the Father's business. We are given a vocation when you get saved. You have a still call, you're still able to go to work and do all those things. But the whole reason you get out of bed, you go to bed, the reason you breathe the air is because you have a new vocation, a new reason. You work for a new boss. You have an assignment to carry out, not at home or work or whatever. You do all those things as best you can. No, you got a whole nother one. And therefore, we share together in the Father's business. We shared the Father's burdens. We shared the Father's battles. We're in them. I need to understand them. This is where I am. If I don't understand them, I'm coming and going disconnected. Now, so adding to that, if I may, in the light of Joshua to help us, Israel is a God-blessed people, a God-blessed nation. And, as you know what, we did the whole book of Joshua a while back, and Joshua chapter 1, and picking up verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. And we shared all those things from the Mediterranean Sea over to the great Euphrates River. That's all Israel's, ultimately. Even though they didn't take it. It's all there. Now, having said that, they were to take and claim God's will for their life. And that was the job. That was their assignment. And all the nations were to pay attention as they exercised that assignment. And as they sought to possess the land, 1 foot at a time, walking by faith and not by sight, as they did that, as they walked, they were to possess the land and ultimately have each piece of property that was assigned to them. Now, in chapter 1, verse 15, you won't, without reading the whole verse, but going in the middle, I have to read the verse, I guess. Until the Lord have given you, brethren, rest, as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land. This is the 3 1/2 two and a half tribes going on the back over to Jordan, given you, then you shall return unto the land and to your possession. And, little word I want you to see, enjoy it. I have something to have, I got something for you. It's my will for your life. I want you to enjoy it. That's what you said, God. Mom will bear it. No, I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy what I'm giving you. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and thus God's going to put them all kinds of battles, which they never had in Egypt or the wilderness. And in order to possess the land, they had to go through the battles, etc., etc. Now, over to chapter 4. And in the process, God was doing something wonderful. And in chapter 4, picking up, please, remember now they put the stones in the Jordan and the stones out of the Jordan in Gilgal and all of those things. Picking up, please, in verse 23. And the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, that's the Jordan, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when you crossed the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. So God, you did two awesome miracles that all, as we shared, Joshua, that all the nations about saw and understood. An awesome event. Impossible not to have noted it. Now, chapter 4 and verse 24. That purpose, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that purpose. You might fear the Lord your God. Not that the world's going to fear. That Israel, who crossed the Jordan, that they would fear. The people looking at it, they aren't going to fear. But the people that are going through it, they ought to have an awesome reverence that affects their character and conduct, fear, as they go. There's no question when they crossed the Red Sea. You had 4.5 miles to go across approximately. That's a little while. Boy, you pay attention to the walls of water on each end. Wow. Pay attention. Across the Red Sea, across the Jordan River, nothing. You'd pay attention. That's what you've got to do. Now, God has is to get the attention of Israel so that they're going to trust him with all their heart. And we share together that God, chapter 5, and in verse 13, the Lord has encounters Joshua, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, and he has his sword drawn. And Joshua says, as you'll remember, verse 13, 14, 15, Joshua wants to know whose side he's on. And the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I'm not on your side. I'm not on the Philistine side. I'm on God's side. Now, God, that's what you're going to do. You're on God's side. Mm-hmm. And you know what? As you keep doing chapter 10 and all that, what is God going to do? The sword's drawn. Why is it drawn? God's going to fight for them. All the battles are there. They're there. But they're going to win them. Why are they going to win? Because God's going to have his sword drawn. He's going to fight for them. That's how they're going to win each time. It doesn't matter what the chariots, the iron, or anything else, or the size of the huge army. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the opponent, the obstacle, opposition. No. If God's in it, then you go. And God makes sure it wins. You're going to win. That's what you have to do. Because it's God. Now, hang on. Having said that little bit, and God fights for them, and they have a wonderful, God is a wonderful piece of property in Palestine, etc. For Israel, for God to be God, to show all the nations of the world. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and they had to possess the land, that's what they failed to do properly, but that was their job. Now, what else, God, is there in the father's business? Well, there's the father's burdens and battles, and then there's the father's blessings. Now, what about the father's blessings? Now, where do they fit in? Over, if you would please, over to Genesis. Genesis and chapter 2. Now, if you can't find that, just go to the very beginning of whatever you've got and turn a page or two. Boy, will I be glad when you get all up here. I can't see you all so good. I miss you, not seeing you. I'm tempted to go back there and just, but then they'll arrest me because I didn't squirt my hands. Okay, Genesis chapter 2. You would recall God in his wonderful grace. 6 days he creates heaven, earth, and all the stars and everything else. And on the seventh day he rests. And verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, set it apart. Because, why? That in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You'll pick that up again tonight a little bit. Now, God did that. God finished it and he blessed it. God blessed it. God went and prospered it. God put his blessing, his favor on it. To say it simply for you, what did God do? All that God intended in the 6 days, and all that God created in the 6 days, and all of God's great plan for human history, God is going to bless it. That means it's going to succeed. God's going to give himself to whatever he said, to do it, to make it prosper. How is that ever going to happen, God? I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do it. Wow. That's what blessing is. I'm going to make it happen. Now, hang on. It'll come out. No, God did that. That's what he has in mind. So Israel's in God's will, in God's place, in God's land. Every foot that they take, the foot of faith, walk by faith and not by sight. And they do so. Now, back over, if you would, to Deuteronomy, as you know. And Deuteronomy, and in chapter 28, as you would guess. Deuteronomy and chapter 28, you remember the blessing. Now, here's with blessing. Now, God, you're going to bless whatever you have in mind. I am. I'm going to make it happen. That's what I'm going to do. So here is Israel giving confirmation. They haven't crossed the Jordan at this point in Deuteronomy 28. And God tells them if they honor his word, verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, pay attention unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, and that's God's going to do it. Now, verse 2. And all these blessings, there's your little word, verb and the noun, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, they'll pursue thee. In other words, if you're honoring God's word, God's going to do what he does. So the heart's business is to be looking to honor God intelligently. You work for your father. He has a job to represent him by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you go about trying to do all that with thanksgiving in your heart. And you're trusting God. And as you're trusting God and going down the corridor, you're going to go and do what you have to do. And all the while, God is behind you to see that it happens. My blessings will pursue you, will be like a lion hunting the antelope. The antelope doesn't have much hope. The believer that's honoring God doesn't have to worry. I don't know the blank. You don't need to know them. You just need to know that God's going to make it succeed. Whatever you're after, God is going to make it succeed. That's what you want to know. Now, what did Israel have? Israel is given this wonderful confirmation. They haven't even crossed over yet in this case, as they will be, as we read in Joshua 1 and that. But when they do, did they have to worry about? No, they didn't have to worry about this, anything at all. They just had to go. And God promised them. Therefore, and verse 2 again, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, pursue thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then it lists them, verbs, the verb, and all those verbs, 3, 4, 5, 6, all of those are participles. It means the thing keeps going. The blessing is continuous. Blessing, 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 like telephone poles all connected together. And you get on the telephone pole, and the wire goes to the next pole, the next pole, the next pole, the next pole, a participle. It just keeps going. When does it stop? It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Hang on. Now, so therefore, looking at all those things, in verse 3, blessed shall thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field, and all of those wonderful things, down to verse 6. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. You're going to carry out your daily, normal living, exercising a wonderful life. My personal presence is with you as you go. In, out, in. Not just in, but out. In and out. God said, we'll take care of it. Now, either God means that or it doesn't. I don't know. Now, in the light of that, blessing in and out, and sliding over now, having said that, now on the other side of the coin, what happens if I don't want to honor God's word, I don't want to believe, I don't want to work the computer or whatever you have, I don't want to work the computer with pushing the wrong buttons, I want to work the computer without paying attention to the buttons. I got to pay attention to which button it is. Now, in process of doing that, and that's what you have to do. But if I don't want to, I don't care. Then you won't know. What's the other side of the coin? Chapter 28, verse 19. And chapter 28 and verse 19 and the list of cursings, which is very lengthy. Verse 19. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Well, what happened to the blessings? I told you, when you were honoring me, I would make it all work. When you dishonor me, nothing works. Chapter 27, Deuteronomy chapter 27. On the end of the cursings that they're going to give at Mount Ebal and that, and at chapter 27, easy way to, I'm going to keep the law, or I'm going to do the right things. All right, if people say that and they think they can do that, therefore you're going to pay attention in your own heart anyway. Chapter 27, verse 26, the last one. Cursed be he that confirmeth not, A-L-L, all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Either do the whole thing or you flunk. If you think of Jane, if you fail in one point, you've what? Failed all. If you're flying over the great Mount Everest up there, the highest up there, I think they were just measuring it recently where they test the height up there, and here they are flying along, and you could get down a half a mile and you crash your plane. But if you're going to go up there, and there's only 1 foot of the mountain, and the plane hits that 1 foot, you're not going to be a happy camper, because the plane's going to crash. If you fail in one point, you're guilty of all. There's no way. How much cancer can I have? Just a little bit? No. If you got any, you got a problem. So God, we've got to look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And Israel was to do so. Over to Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, remember the last in your Bible. And Malachi and chapter 2. What do we know? In Malachi and chapter 2, picking up the thought. Now it's going to end. Hold your finger here. You're right next door. Over to chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 for a moment. And in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 6. And when you end, the end of the Old Testament, and he shall turn their hearts, turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. In other words, the things are going to get rectified, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's the tribulation that's going to come. Nothing's going to get fixed. The church is going to fix it. No, they aren't. We aren't fixing anything. What are we fixing? Nothing. We can't even fix our own hearts sometimes, it seems. We haven't fixed anything. Nope. Now, tribulation. Now, back over, if you would, chapter 2. What did God tell him as he was about to close the Old Testament? Malachi chapter 2, may I pick up, please, verse 1. 2:1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, if you're not going to do it right, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And now the next words are awesome. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. And the blessings that they had when they crossed the Jordan, bye-bye. Bye-bye blessings. All gone. All gone. They could have had them. What did he say? I'm going to curse them. I already have cursed them. I have already done so. You got that part? Chapter 1, Malachi, verse 14. God, what were they doing? But cursed, again that verb, but cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male. This is for the sacrifices they had going to the altar to recognize the death of the Lord, which would happen in history. Cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth in sacrifice unto the Lord, a corrupt thing. In other words, it has to be perfect, the perfect Son of God, the sinless Son of God. You can't have animals that you're going to dump anyway because they're sick or something. No, you don't want to do that. Unto the Lord, a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord, of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. You don't want to give me your junk, your leftovers. The things you don't care about, don't do that. Don't do that to me. I gave you, my father said, I gave you my son. How high do you think I went to save you? I gave you myself. Now hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, please, to Galatians. In Galatians in chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, we're looking at the Lord in the light of Malachi 1:14. You don't want to go, when I go into the cross, I'm going to go and send my son, sinless son, my sinless son. And that's what he did. Now, what did that do? What did that do to help us with the curse and the blessings? In Galatians in chapter 1, chapter 3, excuse me. Galatians in chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 10. For as many, For I'll read verse 6 just to get the flavor of the whole thing. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So they're blessed. Now, God, why is that true? Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And you just read that, Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. If you don't do all of them, you're cursed. That's all. That's what he said. That's easy. So people say, I'm going to keep the law, or I'm going to do this. You have to do all of it and not forget it. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, if it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, not by works. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by them. If you're going to try to do it by your works and merit, and you're going to try to earn it, then I guess you better get busy. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Christ became a curse for us. The wages of sin is death. And sin, wage, death, curse. Now God, that's what he did. Christ became a curse for us. Over to verse 7 in the same chapter, a little coming to the front of it. 3 and 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, us, through faith, not works, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations are going to be blessed. And therefore, God, so the Lord Jesus Christ went, and he died on the cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, the blessings in the Old Testament up to that point were based on one's relationship to God's word and their obedience, understandably. And as they obeyed and honored God and tried to stay in the right path, in the right way, God would bless them. God would make them very successful. But, of course, they wanted to be like the other nations, and et cetera, and they became very unsuccessful. They weren't blessed. In fact, they were cursed. They were cursed. Now, here we are in the age of grace, dispensation. Now, my question is then, I got Israel, I got the blessing, cursing, I got that. Here I am in this day. Now, God, what about my blessings and my cursings? Ah. Now, God, Israel, you would take the blessing away and the curse would fall. But here we are. Now, what about us? Well, where are the blessings? The blessings aren't in us. And they aren't in us in any way. Because we're saved, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going by faith. We aren't trusting anything about ourselves. That's what faith means. You reach out of yourself to something or someone. You trust the bus is going to leave on time and you get there. You're trusting something. Trusting by faith. So therefore, God, the blessings and the cursings. No, God, it's about you. You have given yourself, and in Christ Jesus, our Lord, are the blessings. Christ died and paid the price for all that was wrong, the cursings that could ever happen. He died. So when the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't go to the cross again, he doesn't die again, he's the Calvary's cross, he cries out, it is finished, fixed, finished, permanent. God's all done with sin. All done. He took it to the cross in a most wonderful way. Now, God, when I get saved and you get saved, and God saves us in a most wonderful way. Now, God, what did you do with my sin? You took me from the day I was born till the day I die. every word, thought, and deed that could rumble through my little head and my little heart. You took that to the cross. Now, God, how do I get cursed? I don't. I don't. I'm not like Israel. I'm not like the Old Testament anymore. No, 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 no. The Lord Jesus Christ took the curse. The wages of sin is death. He took me to the cross. God took me to the cross and brought to me his wonderful person, his blessing. Where is his blessing? In your heart. In your heart. Why is it in your heart? Because if you're saved, you receive Christ as your Savior. And that's why it's in your heart. And that's why you got the blessings. And that's why they can't be cursed. Do you understand? No one messes up the blessings in your life because they're locked in the person of Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way. And you need to understand that. Now, you're not going to understand it if you're going to sit there. It'd be like going, when I understand the peace of God, but God said you can't. You can never understand the peace of God. When I understand the love of God, you can't. You can't. It's infinite. It's God. All you can do is enjoy it. That's all you can do. If you were in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean out there, and it was all fresh water, pure, clean, fresh water, and you could have water and to drink. Now, when would you worry about the drought? Did I do that all right? You're out in the Atlantic Ocean, it's all fresh water, and you drink. Would you worry about a drought in the Atlantic Ocean if you had an ocean of water? Would you ever worry about a drought? Of course not. Why? That's an ocean. That's right. An endless ocean. So what happened to drought and all? Nothing. That's not the issue anymore. So God, here we are looking, and you do a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, in order to catch that, as you would guess, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, if I can, are in chapter 1. And in Ephesians in chapter 1, may I pick up the thought so you have it. God, you're going to say it to us. Remember, Ephesians is the sort of the epistle of all the ones that Paul wrote that sits at the top when it comes to the church to understand your unique relationship to God. And Ephesians is about that, being in his body, being he in you and you in him in a most wonderful way. And as he was in the world for 3 1/3 years publicly, he continues to be in the world in your life in the same way that he was for 3 1/3 years, only the difference. He's risen and he's bearing witness to his wonderful grace to save you, to bless you, to make it all succeed. Do you understand? The blessing is what? The blessing is of God making something happen that he said, to do what he said, to make it blessed, to be prosperous, to be happy, to have prosperity, to be successful. God is successful. God isn't happy when we're unsuccessful. We may learn being unsuccessful and our need to trust him, there's no question. But the hope is to exercise and learn the relationship properly. So therefore, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's verse 1, verse 3, Blessed be the Father, blessed be the God, blessed be the God. Now the word blessed here in the New Testament, to speak words, and then put a little word next to it, right tied to it, to speak good words, to speak well, W-E-L-L. Well, good words. Good words. Prosperous words. Good stuff. The favor of God. God speaks good words. He speaks and it's done. God, that's blessing, blessing, blessing. We're going to speak well of God. That's right. We speak well of God. Blessed be God. We're going to speak, we aren't going to speak bad about him. We're going to speak good about him. God, you're a great God. And your salvations, think of the psalmist. Your salvations, all the different savings, are more than can be numbered. I can't count them. I can't count, God, how you take care of me. I have no idea how you take care of me. That's why I have to be thankful at all times, because you're always taking care. After all, it's your body. That's the book of Ephesians. Therefore, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the verb. You're going to have the adjective, noun, verb. Here's the verb. And hath blessed us. He's blessed us. Right now, he's blessed you with all heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings. That's what he's done. So you're sitting there, if you're saved, young or old, if you know the Lord as your Savior, God has given you access to all of the blessings of heaven, all of the resources of heaven, all of heaven's resources to make you earth rich, to be able to earth have an earthly serving, an earthly life surrounded by darkness and death, and everything's against you ever having it. And we're to have that life in such a way with all of the resources of heaven. So we have an earthly existence with heavenly resource. That's what you did. How many blessings? How much? How much? What do I need? God said, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. Like in Deuteronomy. You just do what I do. Do my will. I'll take care of all the rest of it. I'll take care of it. I got to believe that. I do. So God, blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now God has done that in a most wonderful way. So God has provided for us all of the spiritual blessings, all of the good words. God, are you interested in our success? That's why I said I blessed you. I didn't bless you with your farming. I didn't bless you with your work. I didn't bless you with your plan to whatever you're doing in earthly life. No. I blessed you so that I could outwork my wonderful will for your life. Not your will. My will. What I'm after. What am I after? What are you after, God? That you'd be conformed to the image of my Son. That's what I'm after. But no, I want you to be changed. That's what I'm doing. That's my plan. Are you blessing us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I want it to work? Absolutely. Thick or thin? Absolutely. Now, having said that, so God, here we are looking. And you do things in a most awesome way. Over, and by the way, while you're here, well, why not do it a little, why not, in Ephesians? Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, his dynamite, dynamic, to us believers, who believe, according to his working of his mighty power. Which, what kind of power? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now that's what he did. Now God, that's where the risen Christ seated at the right hand of God, making it all available. How much available do I need to understand? I need to understand what you've done, God. So therefore, you know, put it together. Chapter 2, verse 6. And God hath raised us up together and made us sit together Where? In heavenly places. We're blessed in heavenly places. We're seated in heavenly places. We have all kinds of power in heavenly places. That's where we're located. So that's where you live. That's where your life is, in Christ Jesus, even though we're here on an earthly assignment. Now, and therefore, the end of verse 6, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the purpose that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, God, you're doing all that. I am. I'm doing that. I'm going to take care of it. It's pretty simple. So in me, the saved, maybe I'll go to heaven. No, you're already in heaven in Christ. I don't understand that. I come to church, I struggle. You can do that. You do that for the next 20 years. So what? No, I need to understand what kind of movement is taking place if I would ever catch on to it for my heart, for my life. God, you are my life. I'll bless your going out, and I'll bless your coming in. I'll bless whether you go down, I'll bless whether you go up. I'll bless in the middle of the sewer, in the top of the mountain. I'll bless you. That's what I do. You represent me in a world of darkness, sin, death, disease. By the way, we mentioned it and you know it. My Father and your Father, in your heart, God, is the author of this plague, pestilence. Do you understand that? So I don't look out there, out there. No, I don't. No. My Father is in charge of it. Do you understand that? My Father's in charge. In this body, in your body, in the body, local body, he's in charge. So I don't know whether I've got everything. I don't know whether you've got everything or you don't. You do whatever you feel you have to. But it isn't a question of that. No. Nothing's going to come. My Father wants his own body to get the plague. He can get his own body the plague. I have no problem with that. I have no problem. Neither do you. But in the meantime, it's not coming. If God doesn't want it, I don't care if I sit in the middle of the germs. God doesn't do that. We do it because we get caught up in the system and we have to be careful. That doesn't mean you aren't careful and thoughtful and stuff. It just means you need to understand something so you never get frustrated in fear. And then you're trying to fight it. You're trying to protect yourself. And there is no protection. If you're in the will of God, God is your protection. And if God wants it, it'll happen. And I don't care. Back to Mount Everest, that's pretty lonely up there. That's 6 feet up there, you understand? 6 feet distance, up on the top of the mountain. You can go sit there for the next 20 years. And if God wants that little virus, God's going to send God's going to send a particle of dust. Butterfly's going to take it up in the air, and the wind's going to blow it. And blow right to you, and you're going to get the plague. And there you are on the top of Mount Everest. You were over 6 feet away. And you did have a mask on, oxygen. Wow. All I'm trying to do is help you get on the right page. Otherwise, you're busy, trying to make it. And you... Now, hang on. Let me do it quickly. Blessing is for what? God's blessing is for now. God's making things that he has in mind work. To be prosperous, successful. We're to enjoy the outworking as we go through the College of Hard Knocks. And as we do so, the blessing is for now. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. You read it. Second Corinthians and chapter 1 May I pick up, please, at you, just reminding you of what you read. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, in whose business we are at, seeking to enjoy the battle, the burden, and the blessing, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, there we are, blessed be God. God, thank you very much. What I just mumbled out to you, that's what I'm saying. God, you're a great God. I'm not going to make God look like a little midget or something. God can't do something. God doesn't care. God isn't here. I won't do that. I want God. You want God. So therefore, blessed be God. I'm going to speak well of you, God. You betcha. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now, God, what are you going to do? You're going to go, and looking to you, you're going to be able to comfort us, encourage us as we read, and all of those wonderful things. That's what you're going to do. Now, why am I going to thank God? Because God is going to be an encourager, a comforter. And why are you going to do it? You read it, just to remind yourself, verse 4. The God who comforts us, encourages us, strengthens us. In all our tribulation, pressure, squeezing, opposite all the things that come our way, that purpose, that we may be able to comfort, help others. How are you going to help others? What is your purpose? To show people that God is a wonderful Savior. Not to show God can't save, to show God can save. Not to show God's stupid about it, indifferent, wrong. On the contrary, and you're looking for God's wonderful exercise, encouragement of your heart to go through. And if God wants you to get the flu, you're going to get the flu, or whatever it is. And God has in mind whatever he wants. And that's fine. But in doing whatever it is, however it is, we're going to be able to look to God, and God encourages us all the way through the thick of it. We read it here, without reading it again. We despaired, said Paul, in verse 8, even to death itself. Death, we were going to die. That's how bad it was. But God delivered us. And that's the encouragement. God, in the pain, the heartache, the headache, God, you're there. That's right. That's right. That's the comfort. How are you going to comfort people that you never have anything? If you're perfect, angels are wonderful, but they can't do that. But you can do that because you're saved. And therefore, dear friends, verse 4 again, who comforts that we may be able verse 4, hang on, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, same word as tribulation, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So I gotta be encouraged. So I better be trusting God. I better be going through the plague or whatever with my sleeves rolled up to trust God, because you're looking. Can God keep us? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what you're doing. Now, God, that's a blessing of God upon your life in a most wonderful way. God said, listen, I told you it's all going to work out. I didn't ask you how to work it out. God said, I'll do it. My ways and my thoughts are higher than yours, higher than heaven. Now, having said that, in God's wonderful comfort, slide over with me, over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter. And in chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1, would you please note? Picking up, please. I'm going to go for time's sake, verse 3. Same as in 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, God, what did you do? Blessed be God. God, what did you do? We're going to thank you, God. For what? In the midst of all the trials, you have given us a wonderful hope, which we'll look at. A wonderful hope, a wonderful expectancy. That's how we go forward. And in the process, sliding down, verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, walk by faith and not by sight, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're in the, verse 6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season we need to go through. We're going through it. When is this thing going to end? God knows if it's going to end and how it's going to end. Unknown. It's going to be different. Well, are we going to be stronger in it or are we going to get weaker? 3 more months? 4 more months? 5 more months? Are we going to get stronger or weaker? Which is it going to be? Take your pick. And that's what's happening. I'm trying to, anyway. Now, so therefore, verse 6, wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, tests, troubles. You got them. That's right. I do. And you do. God, that's why. What? We're blessed. We're blessed, God. And you're going to comfort us and encourage us in all of it. And it, again, you're going to say it, Peter, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're going to go through the trials and tests. That's right. You're going to go through them. I want you to go through them. A wonderful thing. You get all the supply of heaven, whatever you need. And whenever you get here, it's in my Father's house in many abiding places. I wouldn't bother telling you if it wasn't so. So there you're going to go. That's right. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, we have such a living hope, a wonderful hope for all these trials and tribulations that we have to go through. Now, God, the trials and tribulations, we're in them. We're in the harbinger, the shadow. Before you go see the shadow, before the reality. And here's the tribulation down the road there, and we're headed there. Worldwide, global, national, global, we're headed there. Now, so in the process of that, now God, you said, blessed, you're gonna send us through it? In fact, you didn't say. In fact, on the contrary, you told us to go through the trial in order to be comforted. You told us to go through the trial in order to rejoice and to grow in faith, trusting you with all our heart. So God, you didn't make them go away. No, I'm not making them go away. I'm making you get through them. I want you to get through them. Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, you'll remember it as the book of Revelation is for the believers. For the believers. Today, it's for us in particular, especially. Therefore, God, what are you going to do? I just read. You're going to be blessed to be able to succeed all the way. I'm going to take care of you. Not going to take you out of it. I'm going to leave you in the muck and everything. I'm going to leave you there. But we're gonna go through it together, and they're gonna be a little witness to me that I am able to be a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior, all the way down the road. Now, therefore, Revelation 1:3, blessed. There's your little word. Blessed is he, that's us, that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. That's why we study it, Revelation and all that, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's what John was writing, turn of the century, before the turn of the century, before 100 AD. He said that time is at hand. That's what it is. I want you to be able to handle it. So here's all the church history. We're at the end of church history. Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea. We're at the end of it. Blessed be he that readeth. So I want to understand. We could be quiet on all this stuff and tell us a whole lot of baloney and that stuff that won't go anywhere. I hate that. That's what they did with AIDS and everything. They did it with prayer and school. They gave you things. They never said you couldn't pray. They just said they couldn't prescribe. You can't tell someone how to pray. They didn't tell you to have to wear a mask and a hood and everything. He said, stay distant, 6 feet. They figured that out. Or put a mask on. That's all. That's what you do. You don't have to wear a mask on top of the Alps. No, forget that. You need that. Wherever you are. That's what it said. They just said that in the newspaper. Whatever the other day in that long list doesn't give you much freedom to go anywhere this summer except in your backyard and cook a hamburger. That's it for the summer. Next year, maybe it'll work out better because everywhere you got to go, you got to be confined to 2 weeks. So you pay 2 weeks of your vacation confined. And then you come home and they check you again and you're confined 2 more weeks. I'm exaggerating, maybe. And that's a whole month. And that was some vacation, wasn't it? What a vacation that is. It's worth every penny. Wow. Now, the end of Revelation. Chapter 22. And you'll notice, please, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed, there you are, is he. The believing heart that's looking to God to speak well of God. God, I'm not going to speak bad of you. I'm going to speak the wonderful things I understand. And I'm going to thank you for them. Therefore, verse 7, behold, they come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. God, I want it all to happen. I don't want it to go away wrongly. I want the thing to work out the way it's supposed to. Whatever you have in mind, you've let the plague exist, the pestilence exist, or whatever are you going to do, and you're letting it go. And God, you have a reason for it. And so it could disappear if people would turn to God. Well, biblical history is like that. The heart turns to God, boom, plague's gone. Heart turns to God, they walk out, they go from being crippled to walk. They're looking to God. Well, that's what we're doing, God. We don't want to fix anything. I don't understand it all. We just want to go down and have it all work out prophetically. I don't want you to change the thing. I'm not even interested, God. I don't even understand what's going to happen. But God, you told us the world is going to enter in a cursed position, the wrath of God. So therefore, I want to go and understand. Therefore, closing chapter 22, when you come to the end, remember the church is the key, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride, church, say come, and let him that heareth say come, and let him that is thirsty, I want a drink, I want to learn, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. By faith, we grab it. In verse 20, and the Lord Jesus closes, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. The Lord Jesus, in his presence now, what are you telling us? I'm coming quickly. Amen. And then all the people would say, even so come. In his presence, I'm coming. And he says, amen, it's going to happen. Going to happen. And we say, even so come. Even so come. That's how it ends. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And thank you for the blessing that enables us. God, we need to be blessed. We need to be blessed, but we need to be on the right course in the right way in order to be blessed, to have wonderful success. So God, we fumbled through and tried to say what we could in a way that it's just us, just the way we do it. We don't understand. God, we wish you could do it better. But God, you know. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Spirit of God, thanks. Give us safety, encouragement, safety in the highway. In the midst of our fears and faults and frustrations, God, may we look to you to be able to be recovering from all of which, such things, so that we're able to be confident, having a commitment to your wonderful person for your goodwill. Encourage the little ones, the children. God, we can't. But we aren't, God, even if we gave them the simplest thing, we can't make it penetrate. But God, you know the heart. And Spirit of God, if anyone can do the work that really counts, it's you. So take care of the little ones. Take care of all the ones. Take care of us all. For your name's sake, for your glory and your honor. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.